The Book Programme, presented by Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now from the UK is Jem Tugwell, a crime fiction author with a crime writing MA from City University. In a past life, he had a successful career in investment management. He's with us on the book show to talk about his thrilling debut. It's called Proximity. It's a compelling exploration of our virtual future. Welcome to the book show, Jem.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And what an interesting subject that you've tackled. It's been compared to Black Mirror, I understand, which is a pretty great comparison.
Yeah, I think it's. I like that sort of genre where people have a look at what our future might be like. It gives a good way of speculating and looking at the both the pros and the cons. I don't really see it as a dystopian view of the future. I think it's just interesting to put views out there that people can say, well, I like that bit and I don't like that bit and I could live with this piece, but I wouldn't be prepared to compromise on that.
Yeah. So do you think it's an exciting future then in terms of technology and AI or a bit worrying?
Both, I think. It's hard to see technology being taken without consequences to it. I think it's very easy. I think it's very easy to buy the convenience and buy the benefits and then not read the terms and conditions and not really think about what might go wrong. So there are very interesting things. I think that we could see some very exciting things, but I just think people need to think through what the consequences could be rather than just taking it all at face value.
Yeah. So one of the things that you've done, that you designed and built a connected home. What does that mean?
The house is just everything connects to everything, kind of. So yeah, from the TV remote control, you can close the blinds. From the TV remote, you can change the temperature, turn the hot water on, that sort of thing.
So that makes everything easy.
It does, except when things go wrong, then everything goes wrong.
And oh, really?
In the house, and you have to restart the whole system. And so most of the time it works very well and it's very easy to live with. And then there are just times where it goes wrong. So
yeah,
like with all technology, I think.
I understand that you live off the cloud, though.
Yeah, I don't like the cloud as a concept. I mean, it sounds all very fluffy and lovely. And yes, your file will be safe if your hard drive fails, but you've got to think about when your file goes off into the cloud, where it's actually gone. And it's not a lovely fluffy place. It's going to be an industrial data server in the back of somewhere on some industrial estate, and then it's available for that company to make use of, because you know it's provided as a service that you don't pay for, which means that you're the data. And then you know, if you had a letter from the Inland Revenue, say, or your doctor or something, and it's on the cloud, that's potentially searchable and saleable. It's kind of worrying.
Yeah. It does seem like that our governments are constantly trying to keep track of us and have a record of everything that we do online.
Yes, I agree with that. And it's not just online. I think if you look at so much of the things that are around, things like, you know, if you're walking in the tube, you get constantly told to put your hand on the handrail. If you look at, you know, health and safety, it's everywhere. It's just, there's control is coming and more, I think. And, that's kind of the scary bit of the future, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a worry. And the fact that most people, well, I say most people, but I mean, it's kind of normal for people to believe what we're told, whether it's news reports and things that come out on television, radio, newspapers, but also what doctors tell us, what lawyers tell us, what priests tell us. You know, we're all kind of led to believe that these people with some kind of authority all know exactly what they're doing and what they're talking about. And as we know and find out more and more over the years, that's certainly not always the case.
Yeah, and I think it's even happening with the weather. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's my age, but I seem to remember when, you know, the weather forecast might say it's going to be a bit windy, but now it's a named storm. And, you know, talking to my son about it, you know, because it's named, it feels like a bigger event. It feels like it's more more scary, and they're more worried, and it pushes worry into people. You know, I just wonder whether we'll get to a stage where we have Drizzle Darren or something as a warning that we might get wet if we step out into the rain, you know?
Absolutely. It feels like people want us to be worried or afraid of lots of things.
I agree with that. I think that it's the more worried you are, the more you're afraid, the more controllable you are. And I think it just runs around in a nice loop if you're the people generating the fear and the control.
Mm. And it makes people, if people are worried and fearful of things in general, it'll make them spend more money or buy more drugs or whatever, ways to combat the fear.
Yeah, well, then you need anxiety drugs, don't you, as well?
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. So what do we do about it?
Oh, I think culturally it's very difficult because people just don't seem to, or maybe we're encouraged not to take control of our own destiny. You see tweets on people saying, you know, my children's future has been stolen from them. It's like, but your children's future is in your children's hands. It's for them to control. I think we just need a different outlook on life, and everybody needs to be a bit more self-deterministic rather than looking to blame. I think the kind of the influx of the litigation culture is really not helping us.
Mm. So let's talk about the book, Proximity. Mm. The two main characters are Clive and Zoe. What can you tell us about them?
Well, Clive is a kind of an older police officer who's been in the police a long time and has basically championed the introduction of the technology into the police force and then watched it effectively destroy his dream job. So he's gone from loving his job to hating his job. Zoe's kind of the opposite. Zoe grew up with the technology, so has a different take on it. It's just a nice way of kind of getting to explore two different views on the technology and the world that that exists in, to have the two characters having a different age and a different perspective on it.
What can you tell us about the technology? What do you mean?
Well, in the world of proximity, the government always know where you are, and they know you know, how many calories you take, how much you drink. They track all of those sorts of things. So it's a kind of, imagine it's a very sophisticated Fitbit that measures everything, but in measuring it, it's also taxed. So the Inland Revenue tax your intake. So, you know, eating chocolate is classified as a high-risk occupation. It's, you know, and you're controlled on how much you can take. It's if you look at kind of how obesity is being handled, it's kind of taking that idea and saying, well, if people aren't going to help themselves, maybe the government will force them to help themselves.
Mm. So what were you what was your kind of thought process behind the story in the book then? What were you trying to say?
I was trying to look at, I guess, the unintended consequence of some of these things. And I was looking at the positives, which would be that you would know, if you know where everybody is, you know who committed any crime that involves knowing where somebody is. So like a knife crime or a burglary or a mugging. If you know who was at the scene at the time, you kind of know who did it.
Mm.
It would also mean that, you know, there'd be no such thing as a missing child. So there are positives to it, and I wanted to explore those positives, but also then if you have all of those positives, you also have a potential negative of lack of personal freedom, lack of personal control. And I wanted to kind of just explore that, really, and see how different people had a different take on where their boundary of what was acceptable was.
Mm. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Has your opinion changed through writing the book?
A little bit, I think. I guess I was much more anti everything when I started writing it. But in trying to get a balance from the character's perspective, I guess I've got a bit more of a balanced view. There are some things I'd really like in it and some things that I would really wind me up. But, you know, it's kind of like life now, really, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose in one way there is an argument that you could say that theoretically the only reason, surely, why people would have a massive, massive problem with being tracked everywhere they're going is if they're doing something wrong. If you're just kind of going through life, you know, going to work, going home, taking your kids to school, going out with your friends, just having a normal, non-offensive life, then does it really matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the part that I have no real problem with. For those very reasons, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, then there's no problem with everybody knowing where you are.
Yeah.
For me, it was more, I think I would object more to being told that, you know, I'd eaten too many chips, say, or I couldn't have a sausage or something like that. And I think that it's more the control of your lifestyle,
yeah,
than the tracking of your location that would bother me.
Mm.
But it does give a very... I think for the NHS, it would, you know, I think the book brings out a concept of self-inflicted lifestyle injuries.
Right.
And, you know, overeating or even an undereating or, you know, falling off a horse or a bicycle, all those things, I think, in the book, the government classifies as self-inflicted, and it kind of ignores the... some of the mental health issues, but for that you know, that's the view the government has taken, and that's why they tax it. And I think that's the area that I would have the most difficulty with.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because then on the other side of things, people pay good money to have a nutritionist to tell them what to eat and what not to eat.
Yeah, and people fly to you know, all health places and around the world and pay a lot of money to be starved.
Exactly. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bizarre concept. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Proximity, and it's by Jem Tugwell, who we've been chatting to. Listeners can get a copy of the book from our website in the TRE bookshop section. Jem, thank you very much for joining us. Great to chat with you.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
The Book Programme.